Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dungeon!
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by the lowly, 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 lowly,
keep coming, baby! Hit me!
Yes!
How low can you go?
He's so far down he can't cast spells because his mouth's full of dirt.
Wow!
That's right. I remembered a thing from before.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I forgot about that one.
I forgot about it. It went over my head. But only because I'm so low.
Yeah, everything does.
Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. Our first case comes from The Possum in My Backyard Winked at Me.
Yeah. Whoa.
Great name. And congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't want to look up if possums can actually wink or not. I want to live in that fantasy forever.
I have a feeling when a possum winks, you enter a parallel universe.
Oh, it's like when you see a cat twice in the Matrix, that sort of situation.
Okay, I don't know that. But
the possum winks
so.
At you and you trade places with the possum.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah, you become a possum.
Yeah. I think the possum got some dander in its eye.
Right.
Probably what happened.
That's
a fourth option.
All great theories. All great theories. Murph's is wrong.
Yeah.
The only thing we know for sure is that my theory is wrong. Mm.
They write, to the exceedingly knowledgeable and impartial judges and bailiff, Joel? I want to say it was Joel.
Jolo Solo.
Yeah, Solo Jolo. I present the case of my friends who won't stop throwing dice at my DM screen.
We should throw more dice at Murph.
We absolutely should. Yeah.
Well, clearly it's like they're going well for Joel. Reason, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, clearly the problem here is that you need to get like one of those hockey nets that they have at hockey games, right? Or I guess they at a hockey game they've just
too.
Got like a baseball field is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
Hockey they've just got like the tall plexiglass.
Sometimes they have a net that goes over the back where the goal is.
Murph usually has like 3 to 4 feet tall plexiglass in front of him when we play.
Yeah.
He has like a sandwich shop sneeze guard.
Well, that was like a COVID precaution. At first, but now I just don't like being near you guys, so I just kept it up.
Right, that's where the goggles and gloves come in.
Whenever I hand you guys dice, I just go like, ew, don't touch me.
Yeah. You sprayed me with Lysol the other day. Yeah.
Murph has a brulee torch that he uses to clean off his dice.
Yeah, you guys are gross little gremlins.
A few months ago, a player at my table stood up to roll their dice and threw it a little too hard.
Okay.
The die ended up traveling across the table and hit my screen before ever even touching the table.
Okay.
I jokingly said that my DM screen was good luck and they could now roll with advantage.
Wow.
They rolled a second die. I wouldn't have allowed the result. It was lower than the original, so I said they had wasted the advantage, and we laughed it off and moved on. Now, in any tense moment or difficult saving throw, my players will throw their dice at my DM screen in the hopes of gaining advantage. It was funny the first few times, Justices, but it has been 4 months, and it has happened at least once a session at our weeklies. I ask you, Justices, have I sealed my own fate, or should my players let the joke die and give my poor DM screen some rest? I humbly await your judgment.
I truly hate how much parenting knowledge overlaps with being a DM.
I just wanted to ask you this, Caldwell, if this is like raising a child where like you delight them once and it's really fun, and then they're like, no, keep going back to the nexus of delight.
Forever. Just like kids, these things do not get old to them.
Ha ha ha, break your body, father. Break it. I wish to be a frog. I wish to fly. You cannot laugh. You cannot show a single smile.
Right. But this is even beyond that, because this DM invented the problem.
Right.
This DM rewarded it.
It's really charming. It's really charming.
It is.
This is such
also,
a cute story
the players are showing some level of restraint, because when this was first written in, when I first heard the first sentence, I thought they were going to be doing it for every single role.
Mm.
But the fact that it's now just, I was going to say critical roles,
pardon
the pun or reference, whatever, but since it's just big roles, I'm kind of like, is this that big of a deal?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound. I also thought you were gonna like get hurt. Right?
Yeah, they are saying it only happens once per session, which isn't that bad.
I have a solution. Yeah. I have a solution that is has nothing to do with like talking to your friends or solving this in a mature way.
Love it.
Cover your DM screen with flypaper.
Oh yes, you need to fortify your DM screen. I think you need to. I think you need to lean into this.
Can I? Can I add a suggestion onto that?
Absolutely.
Can I stick another suggestion onto that?
Yeah.
Get a little bullseye drawn on it too.
Okay, that's gonna encourage them.
Yeah. Right.
For
but
sure.
No, no, no.
That's
but
the
you
opposite
to,
of what
you
I
got
mean.
A box. You got to make it like a box of doom roll to borrow from another D&D show, and make it only for occasional rolls. Can you try and like skip bounce it on there, and like maybe you get. I don't know, some sort of boon if you get a bullseye.
So, that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
that's what they're
so
writing
I,
it about.
I think that I feel like if you put flypaper on there, then they lose their dice if they try and bounce it off.
Yeah,
all
right, yeah, I like that. Yeah, just cover your freaking DM screen in goo.
This is my fucking problem. Well, I always make it too fun.
Right now, there's only a benefit. If they throw at your screen and it hits without bouncing, they get advantage.
Right.
But like, there needs to be a cost to it,
too. Oh, that's good, too.
So like, if you don't hit the screen, it's an auto fail. Basically, give them reason to pause.
Oh,
they're trying
God.
To get advantage. Yeah. But like, what's something that would go wrong if it's not done perfectly? You know?
Yeah, I think this is good. In fact, you can even build it into your world. Sort of a cosmic deity of consequence and balance comes in. And it's like...
This is just putting so much focus on the throwing the dice.
Well, but this will limit them from doing it.
Yeah.
Like if I'm like, okay, I want advantage, I'm going to chuck it at your screen, but I know that if it goes over without bouncing, then
your screens are so huge, it would be hard to miss.
Okay, here's what it is.
I
have to go on the other side of the table. There's a distance you have to go.
Yeah.
You would still hit it. It's so big.
It could be.
You would have to miss so hard to miss.
Well, I think I would miss. I have a bad arm.
I will hit it. We can have the worst audio ever for the podcast.
We got
you. Could where Caldwell is on the other side, I will hit it 10 times in a row.
10 times in a row?
That's not the DM screen. He just held up a DM.
We have a small note.
We'll do it 10 times in a row.
We're doing it 10 times in a row.
There's my DM screen. This is terrible audio. Behind you, I think, over by the computer.
What kind of DM doesn't know where his DM screen is?
It's loaded up there. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, you should sleep with your DM screen under your pillow, Murph.
You should sleep with it over your face.
I don't know where the fuck it is.
You're an absolute fraud.
Wait, I got it.
Okay, he's getting his DM screen. All right, I'm gonna set it up. I'm setting up the DM screen. See, I'm doing good audio.
Here, you can use.
You gave me a teeny one. I'm using a regular size.
No, that's not regular size.
That's regular.
Oh my god, whatever.
You're
trying
to use a big one.
Put it down. Okay, ready?
There's a lot of cords in the way, but I've
okay,
laid
ready?
It out.
One.
Number 10.
Okay, that okay, hit it. That was
it is close.
Okay, two. That was too hit big it. Of a dice. That was too
it's
big two, of a
three.
Dice.
Wow. Hit it.
This three. Is too this big is of a dice.
Four.
Four. It feels like a threat.
Now it feels like it's fate.
Five. Hit it.
I'm a little
six.
I'm a little worried.
You're, seven.
You're
hit
leaning
it.
A lot. Your elbows
really
all the way over
eight,
the table.
Hit it. Nine. Hit
I think
it.
I think we have to
ten. Hit it.
Six
so
feet.
Fucking
okay,
easy.
Wait a
so
second.
Feet back.
Murph,
Jesus
you
Christ.
Go to the gym. You're naturally at a physical
advantage.
This has
nothing to do with throwing.
You also
a
came
dice.
Really close to missing the first.
We
yeah,
are.
He did come
it
really
doesn't
close
matter. It doesn't matter. I was so. It's from the opposite side of the table. It's extraordinarily easy. To
okay.
Hit.
6 feet back.
Wait, all right, no, what?
I will do, I'm going to do it 10 times in a row again.
From 6 feet.
From what is
don't
that?
Get a tape measure.
What are we, what are you going to tape measure? This is the worst audio
guys,
ever.
Have you ever heard of playtesting? That's what
okay.
we're doing right now.
All right,
what we need
I
to
will,
do.
Why don't we just do it? I'll not be at the table. I okay. will move all
yeah.
the way back.
This is,
all right,
is yeah, this is good?
Good?
This is beer pong
is this
rules.
Fine?
Well, careful of my computer.
This is the worst audio of all time. You guys ready?
Yeah,
I'm going to do it fast.
No, I'm going to film this. Hold on.
That's oh, I missed. I missed. Fuck.
One.
No, you
no,
two.
No, that was two. You missed already.
Three.
You're
leading over.
You
four.
You missed.
Five.
You missed.
Six.
You missed the first one.
Seven.
The first one. This is
eight.
All.
It doesn't
nine.
Count.
Ten.
You blocked it. You
I
fucking blocked it.
Blocked it.
I threw it fucking 21
this is,
times.
This experiment is bunk.
21 times and I hit 20 and it only missed.
No, you
it
hit
only
19
missed because it hit
one.
The pile of wires in front of it that wouldn't be there
that
in a normal
low.
Session.
That could have bounced. True.
You don't know that. They might have like a TV screen. Ah!
No, he missed again. I was trying to hit Caldwell.
That was a really big one.
Okay. So what did we prove?
We proved nothing. Right,
yeah.
We proved that this is a that there's no reason to gamify
yeah.
throwing it at the DM screen.
Except for the fact that was a real
easy.
Rush for me.
That
it was,
I still
it
think
kind of fun.
I still think you can either talk to your friends and say, I mean, it's only happening once a session. It sounds like they're having fun. It feels kind of harmless, but if it is bothering you, you can just talk to your friends, or you could cover your DM screen in flypaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're
flypaper
still...
and jelly, so that it's yes, really so unpleasant to retrieve. Uh-huh.
Right. So yeah. there's a lot of flies
so
on it.
Attracting flies as well.
Yeah.
I think if you're still giving advantage after the first one, this is definitely 100% your fault.
Right.
If you just did it the one time and your friends are kind of beating it into the ground, it's mm-hmm. a little bit your mm-hmm. fault in yeah. the way like Caldwell was saying, where yeah. it's like as a parent, you can't like,
if you've continued,
you don't laugh
give advantage
kid,
every single time.
When the kid says shit, you don't laugh.
Right. Okay, so I think that
you have to look away.
I think what we're saying is that as much as we love you, I think that it's your fault.
Yeah.
I think
you're the one.
It is your
it
fault.
Is your fault. Your fault.
This is the opposite this of good will. This is bad will hunting.
Battle hunting.
This is your fault.
I don't know why I'm battle so obsessed foraging. With fixing this, though, because I have one last suggestion.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
Are
I'm
you
doing...
just going to say exactly what the problem is again?
No, maybe.
This no, is something no, maybe. New.
What we need is a lot of targets on it.
Okay, so the fun thing about the screen, you don't know what's behind it. The DM has a special cup, and you have to try and get
then
the
dice. You don't want it to focus anymore on the DM screen, is the point. You keep just gamifying the so throwing
it's
the
It's a
dice.
Special roll that only gets to happen like
one.
No.
Three.
Can you get
three
it?
Three row.
All right, fine, I'm done.
It is fun though to think of doing beer pong behind a screen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's frustrating. Is like,
that's a solution
pong.
Though. You play a game of beer pong yeah. before uh-huh. yeah. just yeah. to get yeah, everyone's yeah. tossing out of their system.
I just feel like they're so close to something good and it's not there.
When I, you know what? I do sympathize with this DM of you make the joke one time and then it just really gets beaten into the ground.
Yeah.
But
wow,
the why? Fact that I really thought
what
there was going to be.
How could you possibly relate to
beans, deep blue hole, sweet blue hole, rather. I did think that there was going to be like a rogue D20 that like hit them in the eye or something. Uh-huh. It was becoming dangerous. Yeah. You were getting pelted.
I right. did
but
feel
that
a little
happened.
Scared. I felt a little
yeah,
scared.
Yeah, when they first, yeah, when I just started throwing dice at you. Yeah, yeah, yeah that makes yeah. sense. But okay. yeah.
So okay. they're maybe living their punishment.
I think, right. yeah.
They are living the punishment.
All is right.
yeah, so I don't know that we need to sentence you further.
We could sentence them to just have a shorter yourself. DM screen so it's more likely to hit
yeah.
them.
Oh. Yeah, a teeny, just get a really small DM screen.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to
How
have
about,
a tiny DM
funny.
Screen.
Yeah, and I go over to their house and give a lot of suggestions that they don't want.
Get a tiny, tiny DM screen covered in jelly and flypaper and answer the door when called on.
Yeah, basically we're going to set up your next
Yeah,
game.
We're going to set up your DM.
We'll cool.
up
yeah.
It's going to be tiny and jelly filled.
Okay, so ordered. And our next case comes from Reed Girl or Red Girl.
Okay.
And she writes, Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Tanner, and Murphy, and baby boy Bailiff Jake, I present to you the case, The Reluctant Rules Lawyer.
Mm.
I play a 5e campaign as a Circle of the Forest Wood Elf Druid. My cool. DM is newer to DMing. This is his second time DMing. Ah. I'm a bit more well-versed in the rules.
Aha.
Our group consists mainly of people new to D&D. My DM defers any questions about rules to me. Anytime a player has a question about a spell, action, check, etc., at first I didn't have a problem with it, but it has gotten to be a lot for me to handle. I have Discord, D&D Beyond, the Wild Shape Chart, Google, and Google Docs up at all times.
Ah.
I was also appointed the note taker.
Whoa.
It is getting what? Too hard for me to keep up, and I feel bad because players ask me questions and not the DM. The DM
Wait,
keeps
like,
saying...
Wait, like questions about like lore? Like yeah, what happened
I think the
session?
Rules.
Yeah, okay. the rules. But it, also, sounds like lore because they're also the note taker. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm constantly put in awkward situations. Recently, another player used a potion to help a player who was downed. The DM made a decision and said that potions would only restore a downed player to 1 HP. All the players turned to ask me to check that, but the DM insisted, so I stayed quiet. I didn't agree with his ruling, but he seemed confident in his decision. Later, that player messaged me asking what I really thought. I stayed as neutral as possible.
God.
I don't want to overstep boundaries, and I want to support my DM, but I am getting overwhelmed. I just want to focus on my druid, but I feel as if I can't give my all to her. Am I in the wrong yeah. for wanting to shed myself of the responsibility of being a rules lawyer, or should I keep giving my new DM the help? What should I do? I humbly await your judgment.
This is like you're a saint for taking this on yeah. already. I think that I really feel like this is easily solved. It sounds like the DM is coming in to their own. They're starting to make some rulings with more authority.
Oh, that's a nice read.
And so if they want to say potion only brings you back at one hit point, maybe that's what they want to do for their world. I think mm-hmm. you just have a conversation with the DM. You say, hey, you're finding your feet here. You're making the rulings that you want to make. I think that for the sake of like clarity, mm-hmm. maybe don't defer to me anymore.
Right.
and you can just start making the rulings that you feel comfortable with.
That's a really nice way to approach it. A slightly more chaotic version might be to just call in sick at the last minute and let them jump out of the nest.
Oh,
okay.
Just stop playing with them. It is interesting that the first time this DM really laid down the law was just for a bad ruling. for no reason, we're actually going to make potions bad.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, if anything, it sounds like they need you more than ever.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like,
I feel like that is a thing, though, that a DM would be like, I'm running a brutal campaign and this is how potions work.
Yeah,
here.
I guess,
and I have
right,
to respect if they want to be consistent about
that. Yeah, I guess we have to kind of ignore that one thing because every DM does their own thing. So that might be fine for your campaign.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I feel like this is more on the other players than it is on the DM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the DM doesn't know all the rules. They just said it was their second time playing or something like that.
Right.
Or so it makes sense that they would turn to the more experienced person and be like, hey, what do you think about this or whatever? It's weird that you are the note taker and that the other players ask you stuff all the time. I feel like they should be asking the DM, and if the DM doesn't know, ask for a second opinion.
Right. Yeah. That's the chain of command.
Yes, exactly.
Also, everybody should be taking notes. What's going on
I
here?
I think the note taker is a new thing that I've never heard of. I've never played in a campaign where we had one of us was the note taker.
Yeah.
I would think if you and your friends like having that as a role, that seems like a shared Google Doc that you that you're my week to be it. It's my week.
I think
you gotta
give up being the note taker for sure.
Yeah. Right. Because you're already fielding a lot of questions. Yeah. You don't want to also be the note taker.
You know what? And I think you could probably when people ask you at the table, because maybe they've gotten used to it, you can kind of look to the DM and be like, well, it's kind of up to the DM.
Yeah.
Right. Ultimately, unless it's super cut and dry and it has to do with the mechanics of a spell or something, it generally is a judgment call.
Yeah.
So
there's definitely a small mutiny happening at that table.
Right? They're trying to get you to DM. They're trying to get you to DM.
The sidebar being like, hey, what did you think about that ruling?
Yeah. That didn't sound right to me.
What about you?
Especially healing potions are expensive.
Yeah.
One HP. Oof. And then you probably just get knocked back down.
Right.
Yeah, it's like smelling salts.
We field a lot of questions about people trying to make consequences bigger.
Yeah.
And this feels like a pretty soft one compared to some of the wilder things.
Yeah, if they just decide it's essentially spare the dying or whatever to get an HP.
Right.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, but you can use this as an inciting incident moving forward. You know?
Yeah.
This confusion, these sidebars, this is where it needs to stop, and you can bring that up to the DM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you could sidebar your DM and be like, hey, they're all laughing at you.
Rome. That's cool.
Just really sow a little chaos.
Yeah. Okay. The DM would definitely just quit.
Sign on to Discord, say that, then turn your camera off and listen to
it. Things rarely work like a drama. Usually people are just like, okay, I guess I can't talk to that person anymore.
Right, that was really mean.
That's awful.
God. I'm gonna cut that out of my life right now.
I'm going to think about that every night as I'm trying to go to bed for a month.
Yeah. And then in 10 years, I'll still think about it once a year.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a really unfortunate, it's kind of I don't need this, and then it's with you forever.
Yeah.
I feel like the person who is technically wrong in this situation is the DM, and but I think it's well-intentioned. I think that it is time for them to step up into that role.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the other players seem like they're really heavily leaning on the submitter here.
Yeah,
but I think that
it was all about
the
original DM permissiveness.
You got to lay down the law.
That permission structure where they ceded control.
Yeah,
I think the players then.
That's something that I have really struggled with DMing is you almost have to put on a show of being more confident in every decision that you make
deeply,
than you are.
Right?
Well, it's like doing stand-up. If somebody's doing stand-up and they're not funny but they're confident, it's still watchable.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I mean?
Right.
Like, you can still watch it. It's when you see someone know that they're bombing at an open mic or something where it becomes, it just hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts everyone.
Yeah.
And the audience is uncomfortable.
Yes.
So, it's a performance, you know?
I think, in all of those things, everybody just wants to feel, you got me? You got me?
Yeah, exactly.
We're good. Yeah, I don't have to worry about you.
There should be some level of confidence.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules. I'm just a player here. You know the rules. You're calling the shots. Okay.
That means I can have fun. Great.
I know who's in charge. I know my place in the pack.
Didn't show up to watch anyone sweat.
I do feel like this DM, instead of doing what you should do as a DM, which is where you scratch your chin and think really hard while you panic, they're just instantly, they're instantly deferring to the other player.
I do think it's a learned skill. So mm-hmm. I think that probably this DM is learning this skill. Yeah. And maybe it's just a matter of being like, hey, I think you're like ready to just
take time to let your butthole pucker.
Right.
Yeah. It's okay to have a butthole pucker in a moment.
You're asking, get
just
tight.
Breathe through your ass and then get back to
it. It will
loosen again. It will loosen again.
It might cramp.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Who are we punishing?
Players and the DM. Everybody but the star.
Everyone
player
but Red Girl.
I think that the player should be absolved.
The absolved? No.
We offer no absolution.
Sorry.
You think we're punishing everyone?
We're punishing everyone except for
the notes taker.
Well, yeah. Right. I definitely have a punishment for the players, which is that they all have to share the notes taking.
Yeah.
You know what? They have to take notes on more than just their own campaign. They need to take notes on NADPOD.
Yeah.
NADPOD
yeah. We need NADPOD.
We need to go back. Yeah. Start from the beginning.
We need you on the wiki.
We need you updating the wiki.
Okay, so they're updating the wiki. What about the DM?
Maybe we should sentence the DM to make some incredibly bold and incorrect callings, but do it with so much confidence.
Do it with so much confidence. Uh-huh. Yeah,
right. You have to put your foot down in all the wrong places.
Yeah,
just be like,
just
for
one session.
Yeah, this dragon actually has 6 legendary resistances. And
you don't get a bonus action. Sorry, I'm veto. No bonus action from you.
Sorry, anyone who hasn't taken a short rest in the past 5 minutes doesn't get a bonus action.
Yeah.
You all have
sword
exhaustion.
Broke. Your sword broke.
This DM needs to confidently come down against bonus actions.
A no bonus action campaign.
Yeah.
So
it's a bonus action because it's a gift and you haven't earned it.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. So ordered. And the next case comes from Top Hat P. Top Hat P writes, Honorable Justices, and wow, I'm unaddressed.
Oh,
I didn't even realize that.
Wow,
it's evolving.
Absolutely forgotten.
The subtlety.
I think that's the fucking most incisive slight I've ever come across.
I felt that one in my gut, like getting a text from one of my PCs saying that another PC was shit-talking me.
That was deflating. My party ran out of water in the wilderness, but I rolled a nat 20 survival check to find more. The DM said I found a stream, so I drank and filled my water skin. At which
poison or something.
I was told to roll a con saving throw.
Oh.
I got a 21. Okay. The DM then described how my character spent an hour drooling, giggling, speaking nonsense, and rubbing dirt in his face. Every other player who drank the drug water experienced similar effects. Huh. With no other water sources, my character, who had sworn never to take inebriating substances, was reduced to drinking his own urine. I submit to you that a nat 20 shouldn't result in my character drinking piss. I await your judgment.
Okay, so was it like cactus water? Was it peyote? Is that what's going on here?
They don't mention that.
They haven't.
This seems like a calculated omission, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
This is a tangent, but my feeling is that it's not as fun. Like, drug effects that are like, you babble incoherently aren't as fun as you picture your greatest fear.
Yeah.
You think everyone is your enemy.
Yeah.
You see the face of whatever God you believe in. It's just like such a nothing prompt.
Really? Yeah. You don't like piss drinking in your games?
Piss drinking. It's the babbling incoherent.
Listen, we all think piss drinking's pretty funny.
Yeah. I have no issue with the drinking piss.
Mm-hmm. Did we drink piss in one of the campaigns?
Zerk pretended
to drink piss to impress the teenagers.
Exactly.
Right? But then at some point you actually did it.
You were drinking. Yeah, I think it became unclear.
Yeah.
Because you like made some piss.
I don't remember, but I can confidently say Zerk drank piss.
Yeah. Right.
The fog of time settled in.
Yeah.
Thank God we don't do more Elder Morn live shows.
What's a good devil in D&D lore?
An angel?
A good devil?
Oh, like a fun devil.
Oh,
in D&D lore.
I think there's one called Bale. I think B.
Asmodeus.
A-A-L
is that a
like
guy?
A horse guy.
Oh, what about Titty Village? What about Titty Village?
I'll just say Asmodeus's advocate.
Cool.
Let's play. Asmodeus's advocate does not trickle
right.
off
it doesn't
the tongue.
Pull off the tongue. Exactly.
It trips off the tongue.
Tumbles down.
Is there a version where a nat 20 find, like, if you were in some Feywild, it's some kind of trickery or something like that.
So here's where I think the player was wronged, because I was listening carefully. And at first I was like, okay, the DM could weasel out of this if their excuse was you were looking for water and you got a nat 20 and a perception check. Because that, that's just finding it. And Em's right. Oh. If you're in like the Feywild or something and you're looking for something, if you say, I want to find flowers. And then the flowers turn out when you pull them, something bad happens. With a nat 20 and a perception check, you would just see the flowers probably.
Yeah.
But see what you're saying. This was a survival check.
Oh, so
was it?
That's what it said, right?
That's true.
I guess.
Survival check. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
So a nat 20 on a survival check, that is somebody who has done a good job in literally determining like how to survive. And you would be able to tell like a bad water source.
Yeah, critting on surviving.
Yeah.
Means you shouldn't have to drink poison. I could agree with that.
And then a 21 con save. This DM just wanted to do a joke from like a 90s movie, I guess.
They wanted to make you drool just for a second.
If you get a nat 20 on survival, you're boiling that water. You're putting iodine tablets in. You know what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's a survival check. If it were a perception check, even with a perception check, even you probably see something wrong with it or whatever.
I think even with a nat 20 perception check, I think that's the moment where I say, yeah, you find water and you see something's wrong.
Yeah,
with it.
There's, you know? I think there's like wiggle room there. Like there could be an argument, but when it comes to survival, like that, this is survivalist fucking 101 is finding clean water.
And what, like literally everyone kind of started tripping out on the water.
Yeah.
So like if you're the DM, you can get away with just making one person babble and drool.
Right. Also, if you like share this with the people and you are like, oh yeah, like nat 20, there's this water, but something's off about it. You know someone in the party. One person in the party is going to be like, I'll drink it to find out.
There's a cold well.
You get your incoherent battle. Yeah.
Listen, you've got fighters that rush in. You've got alchemists that need to drink everything. These are just like the tenets of D&D, folks. Like, you're going to get your fun little drug experience. Yeah. And everyone's going to have a good time laughing at the dodo who thinks they're drinking their own piss, but they're, I don't know, sucking off a bumblebee.
Yeah. Ooh, fun. Yeah. Okay, so
we have to punish this DM.
I think they should suck off a bumblebee.
Suck off a bumblebee?
Yeah. Thank God you said that, because I think you saved the DM from drinking piss. Yeah.
It would work. It would work.
Or at least like they have to like have a decanter of piss aerating in their house. Mm-hmm. They don't have
full
to
of
drink
bees.
It.
Oh,
full
of bees.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, so you have to have a jar of honey and a jar of piss, and both are so yellow and viscous. And you don't know which is which.
Because it's a very dehydrated piss because you can't find water.
And you've got to spin them around.
Somebody comes in and switches them every morning.
And also, they're both in Pepsi cans.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So every morning, you're taking a swig of either honey or piss.
Pepsi can.
Yeah. You're putting a little bit in your tea.
Yeah.
Babe, where's my Pepsi honey?
Okay, sick. That's a really interesting punishment.
That's a really interesting punishment.
You know, we talked about,
because we don't bring up Pepsi cans.
We don't bring up. It's our favorite game show, Honey or Piss.
Honey or the piss? It's honey or piss.
And
we
did the chucking of the dice at the DM screen. Should we do this one too?
Yeah.
Murph, you're up.
Okay, Murph is going. He's standing up. He's getting the piss.
I can taste which one's piss 10 times in a row.
Okay.
Sure.
Guaranteed. I know the difference between piss and honey.
No, you already got the first one wrong.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
But the thing is, you've just woken up.
Honey, but it was piss.
I think he really likes the piss.
It's so sweet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm into it. Right.
Yeah.
So ordered. All right, next case.
I got in there with the
bailiff.
Backup bailiff.
The bailiff's
thing.
Coming out. You're ready to guess bailiff, aren't you?
It's not a big deal, Emily, but I have been a bailiff before. It's not a big deal, but I have been a bailiff before.
It's a really big deal. It's actually really cool.
Seems
it's a good
like
job.
Huge deal.
The next case comes from I'm Your Pal Singh. To the Honorable Justices and the Frosting and Jam Covered Bailiff Cake.
Oh!
Interesting.
You have jam on you.
That's earlier. How much cake have you had since the...
Actually, I have a little bit of cake at Amir's wedding.
Okay.
A little bit of cake.
The off cake is that you got a little bit of cake at a wedding.
I think average person at a wedding would have a decent amount of cake.
Yeah, I had a bite of Jill's.
Oh, just a bite. Wow. Okay, so less cake than non...
I need to know when you you go for the cake, are you going for like the actual cake part? Are you ignoring the icing? What's your strategy here?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a major icing guy.
Okay. Wow. Okay. But I wanted to become a cake person. That makes sense. No. This all adds up. And how far
I'm
in Animorphs?
Considering it.
How far in Animorphs are you?
Pie?
Pie? I love pie. Let's step down and let's drill down on this pie thing for a second.
Murph, throw a dice at him.
One! No! Not me, him!
To the honorable justices in the frosting and jam covered bailiff cake, I bring you the case of the mysterious dolls. Me and my party have been playing various campaigns since 2019. We were recently playing The Curse of Strahd, and during pivotal interactions with NPCs and completing side quests, miniature ragdolls bearing the likeness of our PCs began appearing behind us.
So scary.
The players and I spent hours and multiple sessions over 5 months investigating their magical appearances and origins. Only when we completed the main campaign.
Sorry, could I just pause and just put a spotlight on 5 months?
5 months.
Five months on the dolls.
Trying to figure out what's going on with these dolls. Okay.
In game or in real life?
I think it has to be both.
There was a thread.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're completing the regular quest, but also kind of side quests, like curious about these dolls, how it all ties in.
These are the ideal PCs, though. Mm-hmm. Someone who's going to invest this deeply into one thing that you're
right. We're moving everything else forward, but what about these dolls?
A bunch of note takers.
They've got the Google Doc.
Only when we completed the main campaign, one of the players jovially admitted that he had been making the dolls and placing it behind us, as there was no mystery to be solved. I brought it up with our DM, who said he had okayed the idea. The rest of the party were annoyed that at no point over the appearance of the five dolls did our passive perception spot that they were placing the dolls behind us, or that in our downtime we didn't see them making the dolls in the first place. The party felt that our time and effort had been wasted.
Actually, I really agree with the second point.
This is
when were you making the dolls?
Wasted on a joke between one player and the DM, so I asked the court, am I just a grump, or did one player and the DM collectively waste our time? I should add that this is not the first time this player and the DM have conspired together to run covert gags in our campaigns. I humbly and hungrily lay my case before
you. It is very damning that they also say the person put dolls there because there was no other mystery to solve. How is there no mystery at all in your campaign?
Yeah.
So they just like all right, let's just see if these dolls. It's like Lost, where they just had a polar bear in the woods that they never ever explained.
Whoa!
I thought that the German the polar bear. Polar bear was early. Yeah.
I only remember the hatch.
Right, you remember the hatch.
Yeah. Jake, I think if you would watch the webisodes, they explain the polar bear.
Really?
I don't know.
How dare you?
I want to be mad at this, but it just seems so innocuous.
It's almost like if you get mad at it, you're playing into the player's intention anyways.
I don't know. I think, though, to me, it is like a fun, creepy thing, is the thing. Like, if it was just purely stupid, then I would be like, okay, fine. They're just making a joke in the background. Like, if it was just in the background, like Hard One kept seeing beans or something like that. Like that's just silly. But the fact that it's like they're doing kind of a horror campaign, it sounds like, and there's like living dolls or whatever, that does sound like an actual interesting prompt.
Yeah.
So there's a level of disappointment where I'm are we going to fight like a puppeteer or something?
Yeah. I think I don't necessarily blame the player. I think I blame the DM, because that feels like something that this player wants to do it. Okay. Now the DM needs to make it make sense.
Yeah. Why didn't the DM even make the tiniest bit of effort to like tie it in? It's like, that'll be funny. That'll fuck with everybody. Send him on a wild goose chase in my campaign. I love that for me.
And also, it's just sitting there like on the group text and stuff, just knowing everything and just not telling anyone.
It does feel ripe for a double cross, where you're like talking to this player and you're like, maybe that isn't totally the right move, but it is kind of like, these don't mean anything. Whatever. We're having fun here. Then it's like, the dolls start moving without your command.
The DM
should have turned it on the player. Yeah. That would have actually made it fun, because this sounds kind of funny.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't know, when you reveal it, I feel like it's just disappointing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's very deflating.
It's not that funny.
Right.
It's kind of funny. It's funny to hear the story from the outside of it was 5 months, and then you find out it's just two people playing a joke on you. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But living it, and it just being like, oh, that was me.
Right.
Yeah. It's just
reading it that's in two sentences, very funny.
Very funny. Yeah. Yeah.
But
5 months of it.
When you find out, it's just like,
I guess, okay.
Why did you do that?
Yeah. I'll chuckle a little bit. Yeah. Ha ha.
I thought about these dolls sometimes when I was like driving to work.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't do that.
I was a bad husband because of these dolls.
Yeah. I couldn't focus.
Yeah. It really is such a missed opportunity because I do feel like the thing that I really enjoy that DMs do is when they take something you did and make it mean something more.
Yeah.
And so this is like a wild swing from a player that you could turn into something really meaningful, and it's such a missed opportunity. Yeah.
It's also like, because unless you're meticulously keeping track of every passive perception that they failed to see all of this stuff happening, it doesn't make sense.
It feels absolutely on the DM to be like either no to the player or yes, and I'll
also
it
I just don't I just but don't just like, trust
whatever.
This. Yeah,
the DM was just like whatever.
I think I ultimately think that we should sentence the DM. Yeah. I also really laugh at like when were they making the dolls? Like in every adventuring party I've been in, like it would be you have to kind of say, right. Hey, I go off and do something.
All right, you guys gonna go to bed for the night? Yeah. Is there anything anybody wants to do?
I need my own room at the end.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have hand waved it with like the person being like, okay, I'm gonna stay up a little later and do some crafting, have like a joke that they're into crafting.
Right.
Okay, you know what? I think this DM and this player, we have to punish them both.
Oh,
I have an idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think they have to start making secret dolls.
Whoa. I don't want it to be a secret. I want them to take over the Bob Baker Marionette Theater, and I want to.
No, but I think I want to go there. The point is showing how hard it is to make secret dolls.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
People are going to find out that you're a doll
maker.
Okay,
so you have to not only get into making good dolls, but you have to do it in privacy so that no one in your family
just like
knows.
Me hitting the DM screen. You got to do it 10 times in a row without being discovered, or else you have to start over making dolls again.
Yes. I'm talking siblings. I'm talking spouses. I'm talking
anyone.
Parents.
If anyone
no
gets
one knows.
A whiff.
Yeah.
Of the fact that
if
you make dolls.
If anyone says, is that doll glue on your hands?
Yeah.
You're
this is like
your
CIA.
Did I see a little doll foot on your desk?
Yeah. Your
what are you doing with all this yarn?
Everyone what's should... this tiny outfit for?
I'm expecting. Yeah. Okay, cool. So you're a secret doll maker.
Now. Secret doll maker.
Wow.
And every time you get discovered, you have to start over.
Make 10 dolls in a row, and they better be good.
Cool.
And they better be good.
Make some good dolls.
Don't phone it in.
They better be able to wink like that possum.
All right, so ordered.
Hey there, Nadpoles. Did you know that about 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgot about? Truly, even if you think you have your number of subscriptions under control, you might as well check out Rocket Money. Just to be sure, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings, folks. With Rocket Money, you got full control over all of your subscriptions and a clear view of those expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place, so if there's anything you don't want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills lower for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They will deal with customer service and all those AI chatbots so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and it saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. That is saving their members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Our next case comes from Catherine S. To the illustrious judges and the delectable bailiff, Jared.
Oh.
Damn it. Oh, I love it. So a compliment with a misname.
Yeah, very nice. That's very nice. That one's done. I bring you the case of the unnecessarily slippery frog. I play in a rhyme of the Frostmaiden campaign with my sister, brother-in-law, and their friends as an elven Circle of Moons druid named Isilme.
Cool.
We were recently exploring some half-flooded caves in search of a hag who had been murdering nearby villagers.
I love hags.
Yeah, a murderous hag. And I was scouting ahead of the party, wild-shaped as a tiny frog so that I wouldn't be spotted by monsters. Mm. I came across an icy bridge, which was 10 to 15 feet wide, and declared that I was carefully moving across the middle of it, using my sticky frog hands and feet to adhere to the surface and hold on tight. My DM asked for an acrobatics check, which I failed, and he narrated me falling off the bridge and dropping down to the ice below. Mm. I argued that I was a frog, and my size was literally tiny. So surely, even with a failed save, I couldn't possibly have the momentum or the slipperiness to slide a full 10 feet to the left and over the edge of the bridge. The DM ignored my protestations and insisted that that was what happened. End of discussion. I begrudgingly accepted, taking the falling damage and immediately losing one of my only two wild shapes of the day and a chunk of my own HP, leaving me in a precarious position for facing the enemies we haven't even found yet. We're only level 3 currently. Was the DM right to make my frog form so slippery, or am I justified in being grumpy about the fall and loss of my tiny wild shape?
I think the DM's ruling makes sense to me.
It does make sense to me. I feel like they just put the bridge there, and the idea was when you get on the bridge, you have to make an acrobatics check. Yeah. If you fail it, you slip off the bridge, and it sounds like that's what happened. I don't think being tiny by the mechanics affects how fast or how slow you move when you fall.
No, and I looked up frog mostly because I wanted to see the picture on D&D Beyond. It's very good. It's a good picture.
It's great. That looks like a frog.
Yeah, it's a great looking
Anyone
frog.
Have a tree frog phase when they were younger?
For sure.
I was more of a lizard kid, but like I had an affection and respect for frogs.
I collected
frogs.
A ton of tree frogs. Ooh. Not living ones, just plastic effigies.
Somehow you made that seem creepy.
When you said not living ones, I got scared. And I said,
don't worry.
We're going to have to edit this out and then have a discussion.
Guys. I feel like there was like a racket that they were like, husky eraser dogs, husky dog erasers, and plastic tree frog toys. They were just peddling them to my childhood.
If you go to the dentist, you're reaching into the prize drawer. You're getting a little tree frog. Maybe it jumps when you push its back. That's a little plastic frog.
I remember like a little like a beanbag tree frog that I had that I was super into. So I also remember like tree frog posters.
Ooh, so good.
I can think of like some Zoobook covers and stuff. You know what? Like the big toy was. Do you guys remember those birds that would balance on their beak?
Oh yeah,
those were huge.
I wanted weird little gimmicks like that all the time. Yeah, you know that like thing from The Simpsons with like the bird that would just like paddle,
dip into the water.
Yeah, I wanted that so desperately.
Jake, I bet you could get like a really mature adult one now.
Yeah, I could get one of those
for like your dad.
Yeah.
Brass.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The balls that go back and forth and clink against each other. Also
can you
really
imagine editing Jake's audio and just hearing the little gentle plink of the bird's beak in the water?
He does bang the desk a lot.
Yeah. So Murph can't imagine.
And that's why he's banging the desk to get
right. It would just be like the banging of the desk. Right. Like, Jake, can you not just play with the bird while you're recording? For sure.
Just thing is, he screams if the bird's not there.
So back to the frog.
Okay.
I saw the picture and it made me think of how cute tree frogs were.
Tree frogs are cute. I wanted one of those little like lightning balls where you touch it and like the lightning like goes to your fingertips.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are solid. Yeah.
Moving on though. I wanted to just make sure that like the frog didn't have like some sort of like sticky fingers ability or like a climbing speed or anything like that. No, it doesn't. So if you look at just like straight up frog on D&D Beyond, unless they were like a giant frog, but they said tiny. So
yeah.
I think it's just like a run of the mill frog. One of the mini frogs that Emily collected in her house in her basement.
Was the bridge frozen? Did they say that?
Yeah, they said it was like an ice.
So it was a perilous bridge.
They said it was like an ice bridge. So that it was like a challenge.
I could imagine a frog having sticky fingers to go across like a concrete bridge, but if it's icy, maybe you are slippery.
Yeah.
Maybe
you
have a little pratfall and then slide off because the bridge is curved.
Once you start to slip, like you can keep slipping. Like,
yeah, you
one
get
fall
momentum.
Can lead to multiple. One failed acrobatics check does not mean that you go whoop and like fall. It's just that's the first in a series of events that then narrates before you fall off the bridge.
If anything, it'd feel rather cheap to be like do an acrobatics check to see if you slip on the ice and then you fail and then it's like there's
you're
no
a frog.
Consequence.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You move half a foot.
If you had stuck your tongue to the icy bridge, that might be a different story.
But you didn't do that.
Right, you should have used your tongue.
Yeah.
This person went into wild shape and became a frog to cross the bridge.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
Then the DM probably should have communicated to you.
Yeah,
like,
they could have given you a wink and been like, maybe don't do that.
Yeah. Do a little inside check, buddy.
I don't know. If oftentimes when there's something like this, like...
Oh, wait, no, sorry. They were scouting ahead to be a frog that was small enough that couldn't be spotted by monsters.
There you
it
go.
Was not intentionally to cross the bridge.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think if you were like... I'm going to be really small so I can't fall fully off the bridge.
Then the DM maybe. Should let you know.
Right.
Oh.
Then
the DM should be like, I don't think that.
But
like,
you were, well, yeah.
You were already kind of like beasting through the forest, not being detected by monsters. Yeah. You were doing a lot, and then you got to an obstacle that you couldn't get over.
It's a risk of playing an animal with low HP.
Yeah.
It's like if you fall and you take a couple damage, then you lose your wild shape.
Right.
But with that, you get to sneak around.
Yeah.
I think that we have to punish you. Unfortunately. I have
right.
to say, yeah. I think it's adorable that you turned into a frog. So it really pains me.
You have to keep a bunch of secret frog dolls.
Or they have to stay a frog and be part of Emily's live frog collection,
oh
which
God.
We know existed.
Or like maybe you should just become a scientist of tree frogs and have like a bunch of really cool tree frog facts.
But but you can't tell anyone about it.
Right.
Secret scientist.
There are a lot of endangered species of frogs. You could just have like a little frog fuckery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Just like a little like greenhouse full of like endangered frogs. Ooh. So let them fuck.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you start breeding them. You're breeding endangered frogs.
Yeah. Whoa.
You're gonna need to clear this with local governments.
Again, secretly.
Secretly.
Okay. Secretly.
So secretly. So secretly. Tread so carefully.
Yeah.
Hop so carefully.
Clear it with local governments, or you could operate 12 miles off the coast.
That's interesting on the Seychelles.
International international waters. Mm-hmm. Kind of
well, if you're a good enough secret frog breeder, then... Right. There's not going to be any questions, are there?
No, yeah.
I don't think
none
so.
None of this should come up.
Yeah, literally none of this should come up because it's a secret.
So, unfortunately, you've fallen off the bridge and into the arms of your new passion, which is frog breeding.
Yeah.
Very, very quiet.
Very quiet about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they breed loudly, too, so good luck with that.
So you are going to have to build a bunker.
Yeah.
Tumultuous riveting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think going into the mechanics of this, not to like go backwards, but I know with like grappling and stuff, I think you can only grapple somebody that's like your size or maybe a size bigger. You can't like go grapple a gargantuan one.
Yeah.
A gargantuan monster or whatever. But when it comes to like spells and everything, when people who like fail saves and stuff get pushed like 10 feet back or whatever, it doesn't get into the weeds of like, if you're small, you fall this far back or whatever, you know?
And it can't. There was just a catastrophic event happened on that bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Check. Who knows? What it was.
Yeah, it's not necessarily.
Something went awry.
Yeah. It's not necessarily one slip.
It happens with theater of the mind because you're like, I'm crossing the bridge like this. But the dice actually tell you. You were crossing the bridge a different way.
Different bridges. Yeah.
Frogs can be foolish. You might think that they're always cool and that they never fall down. I'm here to tell you, sometimes they do stupid shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of true.
And you'll find that out as you breed them.
Yeah. You're going to see frogs trying to mate, trying to court.
Yeah. So quiet, so ordered. And our next case comes from Jeffrey P. Jeffrey writes, to the judges and bailiff, not picking a side. Wow. All right.
Okay.
Well, you sealed your fate.
That should have, because there's three of us.
Yep.
Yeah.
My campaign has been going great.
We banish you to the frog farm.
We should laud your impartiality, and yet we condemn it.
Not in this court. My campaign has been going great for almost a year now. I'm a first-time DM and had a few minor difficulties at the beginning of the campaign, but have grown and progressed, and I'm great at it
good
now.
Good job. Pick a side.
Oh, my God. I love that self-talk.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Sing your praises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, during an early session, I let a character roll a charisma check to decide the history between him and an NPC.
Ooh.
To my horror, he rolled a nat 20, and it was decided that the NPC and that PC had a long relationship in the past, and it's been nice to add to the backstory.
Cool. Okay.
My problem is that now my players always want to roll to see if they've previously dated any NPC they might have met previously, and since they all have developed backstories, many NPCs are characters from their past.
Okay.
Am I wrong for not wanting my players to have dated every single NPC?
Yeah,
an oops all X's campaign.
This is hard because I actually really like this mechanic that you came up with on the fly, and it sounds really fun.
I think that's cool in certain instances. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun if, you know, Moonshine's going to the Crick and you meet an NPC or something like that, and you're just like, oh, does Moonshine know this person?
Right.
Moonshine is from there. She might know that person. So it makes sense to leave that down to a role. But it's like, does one of the random other characters know that?
Yeah.
There being like a 1 in 20 chance of you just knowing everyone in the world is crazy.
That's real. Yeah.
I think you got to open up the charisma check to be more nuanced than did I date or not?
Yeah.
If you just are like, if you're like, hey, if they want to do that charisma check, you can be like, you're not their type romantically, but on a nat 20, you really helped them out one time and they owe you a favor.
Right.
You know?
And I think only specifically like from your hometown or something, like there's no, you don't have a 5 in 20 chance of knowing everyone.
Everyone in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon type
thing.
Ooh,
I like
that. Where you like roll and they won't know you, but maybe you'll know the same person.
Yeah.
Or, which could like warm someone up to you. You know? You're like, oh, I know this guy, you know this guy. That's interesting. Yeah. Now we're kind of tied together somehow.
If we do more, we have like a thing on the mixed bag that we're doing called Twilight Sanctorum, which like takes takes place in a little city, and you guys play private investigators. And this would be such a good mechanic for that because you guys have all been living
in the same city.
Yeah.
Three generations of private investigators.
Three generations. Feel like I like hear this and I'm like, oh, that's such a fun way to be like, what kind of history do they have? You don't have to iron it out. You can figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, I think it's specific.
So I want to credit you. I think that's really fun.
I think it sounds like you did it in a cool moment, and now your players just think that's precedent. And I think all you got to do is just set up boundaries and be like, that is only for specific instances.
Yeah.
And also, it's not about dating.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't date everyone. You don't know everyone.
Because you're not everyone's type. You can crit on someone, but if you're not their type, you probably didn't fuck.
That's right. Put it on a shirt.
Right. It's really true.
You can crit and you still might not be their type.
Especially me wearing this shirt.
You can crit it, but you can't hit it. It's the shirt. It's maybe it's like on the front it says that. It says hit it on the back. And
you know what's interesting is I feel like this DM, I kind of don't feel like it's as much their fault as the throwing the dice at the DM screen.
Yeah.
DM, but they're similar vibes. Where
right.
You set up a precedent.
Right.
I think
that the players liked too much.
It is technically on your shoulders. However, I think it's such an easy fix.
Yeah.
But it's also like people like kind of badgering their DMs. And like,
it's
I know that you're thinking like, oh, I'm not giving them what they want. But if you tell them no and act a little grumpy about it, they'll like that just as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't know all the things that they liked yet because they didn't even know that they liked this mechanic until you said it.
So
you have to show them your new shit.
Make it a cool thing that only comes up every once in a while.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The further they get from home, the more you can shut it down too.
Yeah.
I think also that once you start shutting it down, the moments you allow it will feel extra
fun. Ooh, right. Oh my God. Imagine the first time you're like, why don't you roll to see if you know this person?
Yeah.
Like you introduce a spurned lover.
Oh fuck. Get a special dice for it. We're going to roll the relationship dice.
Wow. Just a super horny D20.
Right. Oh, the ones they used to sell at Spencer's Gift. Like where you would like massage, lick, or whatever.
Yeah. You know, those
dice?
Oh,
yeah. Get a sex dice for it.
Yeah, it's a sex dice. That's what it was.
Perfect, honestly.
Yeah. When I was 13 and I was like, I can't wait till I'm old enough to use one of these. Like all the adults do, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, honey. It says lick again.
I'm going to go to college and massage everybody.
Yeah, I guess what makes this a little I'm trying to think because we have precedence in this court today.
Yes, we do.
That we said that if you introduce a mechanic that then your players fall in love with, it's up to you to lay the law down. But I will say, I think the slight difference here is that this is used in specific instances, I think is a good idea. Versus when somebody hits your DM screen and you say, yes, you get advantage.
You
think that's
very funny, but I think that's not like
a good idea. Yeah. Unless we increase the distance to 10 feet.
Unless we do 10 feet, which I can still hit.
Okay, or wait, maybe if I try to catch it as well, if I can catch it, then
you can block it like a goalie. Yeah.
What we're finding is like in these two separate gardens, one of them has something that needs to be literally uprooted and the other one has something that needs to be pruned.
Oh, that's a beautiful metaphor. Yeah.
It's just a garden of dice. I love it.
So who's punished in this case?
I think you know what? I think we gotta punish the players.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning.
It feels like it is
pretty similar.
Yeah.
It feels like
the fix is on the shoulders of the DM.
Mm-hmm.
Should we punish the whole table?
Let's punish everybody.
Let's just punish everyone.
Okay. Yeah. Can we give them a fun punishment?
No, let's make it really severe.
Yeah. What if, okay, so we were talking about having to like prune, because this is a good idea.
Yeah.
So secret pruners.
Oh, that's good.
A literal secret garden?
A literal secret garden.
So it's kind of like pool hopping in the suburbs, but you're going to hop into someone's backyard and just like trim their hedges.
Yeah. So you're basically going to be like a squatter, but like you're building a garden at someone's house and they don't know.
Yeah.
And they're going to think maybe like gnomes or elves have moved in and are like just like growing beautiful flowers.
And you need to let that rumor grow.
Yeah. I think this is what Secret Garden is about.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's about hedgehoppers.
Hedgehopping. It's a great movie idea, actually. Okay, so ordered. And with that, why don't we step into church and hear a confession?
All right.
Okay.
This one comes from G Money. Okay. Good morrow, fair justices of the Supreme Crit and the bailiff of little consequence.
Whoa.
I bring an account before this panel of witnesses, which I believe must be considered equally a case of justice and a holy confession. Ooh. I bought some new liquid core dice. I love my new dice. They're dope as shit, and I love them.
What is liquid core?
I've seen them.
Literally a core full of liquid.
Yeah,
it's got like goo inside, and it swirls around.
You got to smash that goo and put it on your DM screen.
Yeah,
easy.
Yeah. Chuck it in a DM screen. You need to fortify the DM screen. Therefore, I'm ashamed that I have sinned against Dice Christ himself using my beautiful new dice.
No.
As his conduits and as impartial judges of Bohemia and beyond, I beg for forgiveness and acquittal. May mercy preside over us all.
so much preamble.
I'm so sorry.
Oh
please,
my God.
Please,
a full paragraph later.
If you attack someone with this dice, we can't defend you. You know that, right?
Right. I begin here.
I broke them and drank the liquid.
And then I drank my own piss.
The dice shop from whom I bought the dice replaced a number with their logo, a favorite feature of mine.
Okay.
I have other dice with the same feature, and it always adds some extra sauce to a natural 20 until recently. You see, I've been rolling these new dice, assuming the company's logo had replaced the number 20.
Oh, no.
However, the other day, I rolled an actual nat 20 with the number 20 staring up at me.
Who puts their logo on the one?
Yeah, did they put it on the one?
Exactly opposite, where the number one should be was the logo. To my surprise, I've been claiming natural 20s that were in fact natural ones. I immediately came clean to my party and DM and have not made the mistake again. However, the shame of this mistake still soils my conscience.
You're innocent.
This is regular Goodwill Hunting.
it's not your fault.
I think you did absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah, the fact that you confessed right away. Yeah. And that is crazy to put your logo on the wall.
I've never seen anything like that. Your assumption was totally normal.
It's kind of NADPOD behavior. We should actually do this with our next set of dice.
Right, put it on the two.
Classic self-deprecating. Yeah.
Don't describe it at all.
It's just a picture of Pawpaw as the two. Yeah. And the only way to know is by looking at the entire dice.
Pawpaw with a peace sign. That's two.
Oh, right. And then we can't get sued.
That's still confusing.
I think it should be like way too many words. It should be like nadpod.com or something like that, all wedged into the one.
Whoa. Yeah, it's just too much. Like Jake's Instagram logo handle.
I will say, not bad.
Yeah.
I get why you gotta like put your own spin on the dice, but I do love seeing that 20. I do love seeing that 20. And so I do kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think
putting the logo on the one is crazy. I would never think
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think there's a grammar to dice, and this person was being a little E.E. Cummings with their dice. Yeah. And it's not that's on your shoulders.
They were done dirty. They were done dirty by the dice shop.
Should we punish the store?
Yeah. We demand penitence from the store.
Okay, right. Yeah. Send us
although
your dice.
The store is kind of just giving out people nat 20s.
That's kind of nice. You know what I mean? But I do think that I think that the store has to become the domain of the church.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. We're going to need that lease.
We're going to have to take over.
We're going to have to take over your warehouse.
We are going to be bulldozing the inside of your store and replacing it with a frog fuckery.
There we go.
A very secret one.
On the down low.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Super how it's not low. A hatchery, it's a fuckery.
I mean, the eggs are of no consequence.
Yeah, it's just.
Oh, and actually, last line of this confession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My only solace is that I play a halfling, so any of the natural ones I rolled would have been real. So I think it's not even that serious.
Yeah, you never roll a one after rolling a one.
It's definitely, it's not your fault. That's crazy to put the logo on the one.
It's not your fault.
It's your fault. So forgiven.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back in session with more cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. The That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Don't do it.
In the meantime, does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Yeah, dude, if you're listening to this right now on a week from today we'll actually be in LA. You can come see us do this exact thing live, possibly tonight. And we have a bunch of other live shows as well, so check those out.
Somebody might get jam or flypaper or some other weird substance
.com/live.
Matt Los Angeles show will be October 26th, Denver on October 27th, Sacramento on October 28th. Portland is sold out. Thank you, Portland.
Thank you.
Then we're going to be in New Orleans November 14th, Orlando November 15th, nice. And Fort Lauderdale, a.k.a.
Court Lauderdale.
That's right.
For another Dungeon Court on November 17th, so check those out.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And you can get those tickets at nadpod.com/live.
Exactly.
Go get them.
And you can follow us on social media there, we may or may not use, at CHMurphsMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at AXford's Emily, and at JKurtz is Jake. And you tweet about the show using hashtag nadpod, that's N-E-D. D-D-P-O-D.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
It's the end of the show, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Al, Daniel G, Dylan B, Katie G, Dungeon Mama, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Hoid's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, DJ M, Trey Lay the Crayfay, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, the guy from a recent live show who gave Caldwell a Flintstones graphic novel, who is Milwaukee, Princess Yar, Michael L, Jory S, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, not currently starring in anything in solidarity with the WGA and SAG-AFTRA, Samuel B, Mike H, Alka Schmelcher Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Heratrian, Rex Daniel the White, Diana De Los Lopez, Cece Lulu, Equipajo, Slahabis Fuck Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder Will Come Cold Again, Winter Is Coming, hashtag CCC Forever, shout out to my fairy followers, Taylor B, The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Steven, Steven C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Jake L, Nick W, Swashbuckling Swag Snagger, Agnity, who's inviting everyone to a little picnic called Manja, September 7th in Central Park. I hope it was so fun. William W., Big Bad Mirdo the Mad, Eric McD., Ananorama, Percival Frederickstein von Musel, Klausowski de Rolo III, Item, The Simple Dimples, J., Dragonborn, Vincent, The Juke Duke, D., The Sandrayan, Ben A, Dave H, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Danny F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfire's assistant Izzy F, DPC is awesome, Shone the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbaldar, Summer Rose Grand Terre, Cat C, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena and Velociraptor, B, Perky Always, Pat L, Savexel, Maxwell J, Lauren H, Talia, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, Annie M, Faye Floose, the floofiest of Archfey. Melissa, ball business illustrator. I would like to see my husband slam dunking a D20. Just like he did pelting them at a DM screen in this episode. Ploops! Carly A, Connor S, Salil, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Jack H, Crabster, Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Toward Tomorrow, Lindsay W, Steel Birdie, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Souls, Slimy, Spunk, Hashtag Release the Sweet Blue Hole Cut, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Daddy Master Dandy, Eric B, Stars and Roses for Han Forever, can't wait for Carnegie Hall, mwah, mwah. Marcos, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, Self-Proclaimed Betrothed Fae Prince until Halloween 2023. Stay tuned. I'm currently recording this and we are right around the corner and we are tuned. Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian. Maggie S, see you in Chicago. Holly H, Kristen Z, Leah, Hunter H, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Andrew, Crick, Planeswalker, Doofiness, Cal, just Cal, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Cody Kerr, voice haver and guitar holder of entirely unacclaimed absurdist punk band, the Golly G Willikers, our friend Simon, running lines with Samuel L. and his dreams, hoping to inspire a new story, roll a performance check. Keychains, Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the succubus, and Kyra her busty queen. Matt M., your friendly neighborhood yaunt and yunkle, Andrew and Sid. See you in Minneapolis. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F., Jimmy A., M4L, Austin S., Knight of the Living Fulster. Wayfarer, briefly warped out of the Fey Realm into a strange city called Minneapolis Hiss and met a couple of charming justices. And, of course, the bailiff. Shane C., Burpo, Good Barrel Barbarian, Mary Beth C., Contender in the Making, Three Awakened Gooses, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Talisman, the man with the lucky charms for you. That tickled me today. Dana the Daisy, Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain, Gabriel W., Box Clifton, Milwaukee here, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who is working hard in her audition for the lead singer of the Mounting Crows, Winter Slade, Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, J3001, Thrath, the Demon Lord of Spite. What a get for the Council of Elders. I'm honored, Thrath. Anthony, the raddest of dudes who secured his Carnegie Hall tickets for himself and his lovely partner, Josh, the finest of dudes. Josh H., Clementine T., Caleb L., Fairies, followers, say hi. Hashtag Calder will called come again. Will come cold again. My goodness. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. MJ, the BFG, drinking tea by the sea. Little ferret pal. Dogs of Babel. Eleanor K., Mr. Meowski, Gino T., Mama Bell, the silver serpent herself. Feunir, cannot spell the wizard. Hannah Ross 3, Derek D., Kalu Kale, can't wait to see you play at Carnegie Hall, yay! Tristan the talentless hunk. MJ Johnson, PTA workshop, got engaged after the Minneapolis live show. Yes, Jake, there will be cake at the wedding. Mios the Great, Alex K, Joshua P, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel La, Pamela, Sandra, Rita, as this continues, you know he's getting sweeter. Emma S, Red, the Reforged, Warforged, Sexy Little Spider, waiting for Murph to stop being weird about this and just date me already. Oh my god. Okay. A cat sneaking onto a plane for their first U.S. visit. Hard One's Hot Hump Gunk. Shell B. Yes, from the Sprite Girls. Check out her new single with Litchney Spears. Crit Me Baby One More Time, dropping this autumn. Stale Bread on Salad, a.k.a. Crouton. Jackson R. T3RHX. Official Ned Flanders. Anastasia W. The Honey Goblin. Nova B. The Deathcore Bard. Zborb. Blake H. Big Bev's Bestie. Lloyd. The Rat That Controls My Cerebellum. Opa Remy from Ratatouille Style. Sally is so excited to see everyone in New York City and wants to thank her daddy Ryan for getting her into D&D and NetBud. Shelby C. Papa Sky Days. Meemaw Sky Days. Taylor Bennett. Oh, it's V. Tommy W. Mike and Lisa sending love to all y'all. Haley the Human. Megan N. The Big M. John Fraser, the Dicelander. Stephanie of House in Zunza. Jake's Ramen Shop. Tracy P. Karjish. Benjamin A. Sacrificial Otaku, pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bohemia. Sav, the advisor to Princess Shiverblight, who helped her decide that it was indeed a good idea to help out the other dragons. A misunderstood kid whose bringing up was mostly just fine. The terrible trio of George, Chester, and Toad. Mickle A. Shanimal, commander of the 5th anniversary live show Pocket Foster Army, Angie A, and finally, Normal Ass Dude. Thank you all. We love you all so much. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.